It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we're studying the book of Ephesians, I trust that you'll have your Bible open and follow along. Now, I've been mentioning this several times that you need to check up on the preacher. Well, not only me that you need to check up on, but you need to check up on anyone who claims to be a man of God who opens the scripture and starts speaking from the scripture. Well, it's supposed to be the scripture. So many people today are not using the Word of God. They're not using the King James Bible. And I would suggest that you get a King James Bible and start studying through it. And let God lead you as He has led me through this world and through this time. I've been saved many years. And I first got a Bible, and I was into that Bible, and I started studying the Bible. And God is showing me things even today after many years. You see, you don't learn it all at one time. God, if we could learn everything at one time, then we would not be able to contain all of the information there. So therefore, God gives it to us as we need it and as we can absorb it and as we grow in His grace and knowledge. Well, notice now in Ephesians chapter 1, we left off in verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, we talked about that, and we said that wisdom and prudence actually goes hand in hand. It means good sense, moral discernment, carefulness. Carefulness, in other words, having the mind of Christ, leads and guides us and helps us through these things to have wisdom and prudence. Well, we'll say wisdom. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Can you imagine having the mind of Christ? Well, you do if you're saved. You don't have to imagine it. You have the mind of Christ. He's giving you the spiritual ability to understand spiritual things. As you get into the Word of God, you may have the idea of, well, how am I going to do this? Will I understand what I need to understand here? Well, you need to pray and you need to ask God to guide you through it. And He will, because you have the mind of Christ as a saved person. But we read on in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, once again, let's read these two verses together, 8 and 9. "Wherein He," that's Jesus, "hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself." The first part of that verse, verse 9, says, "having made known unto us the mystery of His will." Well, we've read about predestination here, and predestinated, it says in verse 5. Well, what is His will? Well, according to the Word of God, the mystery of His will is to be conformed to His image. In other words, as we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're babes in Christ. You may have heard that term before. We're babes in Christ, and we're to grow as children of God. We grow so that one of these days we're going to see Jesus personally. And the Bible says that we are going to be made like Him. We're going to have a new body, fashioned like our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to look like His body. That's not what that's speaking of. It's speaking of our bodies will be as His body, an eternal body, a body that will never decay, a body that will never change. And as we think of that, we look back to verse 9, and these mysteries are made known to us, once again, through the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Wisdom and prudence comes through the mind of Christ. And Jesus has made known unto us, the saved people, the mystery of His will. Now, the mystery of His will. You cannot do the will of God unless you know Him as personal Savior. And those people who know Him as personal Savior, they need to be following His will. We remember by going to Matthew chapter 6, how that the apostles, they had been watching their Lord and our Lord, if we're saved, they've been watching Jesus Christ pray. And one of their desires was to learn how to pray. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray." Well, Jesus said this is the way to do it. And notice what he said about God in heaven. Thy will be done in heaven as in heaven on earth. In other words, you need to pray and ask God that his will would be done. Well, what is his will? His will is for you, first of all, to get into his word as a saved person. Learn the things of God, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. There's mystery in the word of God before we get saved. After we get saved, it's like having a curtain raised up and we start seeing things. What do we see? We see the mysteries of God. We start understanding what God has for us as saved people. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will is that as we grow in his grace and knowledge, we are being conformed to his image. The longer we're saved, the longer we stay in his word, the more we become Christ-like. You remember that Jesus Christ, he had no sin. And we often wonder, how can I keep from sin? Get into his word. I'm not telling you that you're going to be sinlessly perfect. You're still in this human body. And that's the reason that we grow in his grace and knowledge. We become more and more like him daily, conforming to his image, living, trying to do the best that we can as saved people. And he unfolds to us the mystery of his will. That mystery of his will is that we grow in his grace and knowledge and that we do what he wants us to do, his will. And it says, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Jesus Christ walked this earth some 33 and a half years, according to what we understand. And during those 33 and a half years, he was about his Father's business. And he said this on occasion. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And this is something that we need to be aware of today, that we need to be about our Father's business, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father's business, first of all, was to send Jesus Christ to this earth. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Heavenly Father sent Jesus to this earth. Well, now he's sending us. We are to do his will by doing what Jesus left us to do. Jesus is no longer here, but we are. And we're to carry on the things that Jesus was doing on this earth. Oh, well, you know, Jesus is the one who raised the dead. He healed the sick. He doesn't even ask us to do that. What he asks us to do, first of all, is to live for him, is to give us to give him our attention, to listen to what he has to say to us and follow his advice, and follow his leading, to do his will. And we start thinking about this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where do you start? You start by praying and asking God to lead you and make known to you the things that you need to know in the scripture. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. He's purposed within himself. Jesus Christ has purposed within himself that we should learn, that we should understand the mysteries that God has in his book. These mysteries are unfolded to us as we study his word. We get into the word of God. And the only way you're going to understand the complete word of God is to get saved. If you've never trusted him, you need to trust him today. You'll understand how to get saved. You can understand the history of the book. You can read it and study history in the book, in the Bible. But until you come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I can't save myself. Please save me, Lord, so that I can be made like you and I'll see you one day. If you pray a prayer like that or something like that and mean it in your heart, then you can understand the real mysteries of the Lord when you get into the book and you start reading the Word of God. Verse 10 of Ephesians 1 goes on to say that in this, or in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And we see that word dispensation. And we start wondering, what in the world does that mean, the dispensation? Once again, when we get into this, it's not hard for a person who is saved to understand this. And actually, for an unsaved person, they should understand what a dispensation is. The word here means the management of household affairs. In other words, this is God's household, that we're living in God's household. This means stewardship or administration. It's a dispensation or arrangement of things, a scheme or a plan. And the meaning, as we look at this word, as we see this, that this plan was formed in order or unto this end. There are certain things going to happen, and it's coming to an end. It says that in the full arrangement of times, in other words, or in arrangements, completing the filling up of the times, that God would gather together in one all things. In other words, to have it declared when the time was full to come. The dispensation of times. The time is going to end one day. And it's going to be too late for people to get saved. It's going to be too late for Christians to serve Him, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time has come, when it's all over with, that's when it's too late to get saved. That's when it's too late to serve Jesus Christ. This earth will change. You and I need to be busy for the Lord today, because the fullness of time is coming, according to these verses that we're reading, and especially this verse, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, verse 10 says in Ephesians chapter 1, the fullness of times, when the times were fully completed, in other words, when they're done, when all the periods should have passed by which Jesus Christ and God had prescribed, or that He judged necessary to the completion of the things that were to be taken place during this period. And this period, in this verse that we're reading, is when all things shall be gathered together in the Redeemer at the winding up of human affairs, or the consummation of all things. It's going to happen. And I believe that we're closer today than we were yesterday. And if God will, and if God tarries, Jesus Christ will use us in His work while we're here as saved people, if we will let Him. Now, one of these days, when we look at this as a Christian, the fullness of times, our fullness of times may come today in the rapture. That's our fullness of times, but not the fullness of times of the earth. But our fullness of time would come if Jesus were to come back today and say, "Come up hither." And we hear that trump of God sound. We hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Come up hither." And I believe that He's going to call each one of us by name. And you say, "How's that going to happen?" I don't know how it will happen. I know that it will happen, I believe. Just as Mary was walking in that garden, and she thought that Jesus was the gardener after He had risen from the dead, and she wanted to know where the gardener said, the gardener had laid the body of Jesus, and Jesus said, "Mary." And immediately Mary knew who He was. And I believe when Jesus comes back in the rapture of the church, I believe we're going to hear our name, "Come up hither." And I believe that when we close our eyes in death, if He doesn't come back before then, when we close our eyes in death, I believe we hear our voice, our name. I believe we hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Come up hither," because either way, we're going up.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.